Happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hope you had a great weekend outside that Nebraska game. We'll get to that later on today.
What's that?
Well, how was your travels back? Is everything good?
Yeah.
Did you drive to Chicago?
No, we flew out of Indy. We flew out of Indy to Chicago, then went to Chicago to Lincoln. I was back 2:30 or so.
Nice. Not bad. It's not bad.
It
good.
Can I just say something to Jake?
Please do.
Tell Bill, you guys something. I didn't put it on our text group chat because I thought it would cause us too much of a stir. Saturday night, we got back to the hotel.
Yep.
And the valet, he disclosed that the Dolphins were staying at the same hotel.
Oh, no.
And Marino was there. I never laid eyes on Marino, but the bartender said, well, he left this tab open.
No.
So he's probably coming back. Yeah. Yeah, the Dolphins.
If you would have gotten a old-fashioned on Marino's tab, just charge it to the Underhills.
Yes.
That would have been incredible.
See, here's the thing, though. I didn't know this, but they're very... Bill probably knows this.
Which hotel was this, by the way?
It's the Marriott downtown.
Okay.
In fact, Oregon was there on what would have been Thursday night. Yeah, and we just missed them. They had just left.
So could have hung out with Dan Lanning and Marino.
And Mike McDaniel.
And you love McDaniel. Oh, yeah, I'm all into that guy.
John Mellencamp.
Yeah, so...
That's a weekend right there.
Now, here's the thing. Now I was going to get to it. Bill, you may know this. I did not know this. And maybe it's not always this way, but it was very stealth. Like, for the staff is not supposed to tell you that the Dolphins are there. So it's... And you never see them. There's no evidence of it at all. It's not like they're milling around the lobby. You saw nothing.
But Marino was having a drink at the hotel bar.
Yeah, Marino
was milling then.
Yeah, there was a lot of Dolphins fans there. There's a lot of Dolphins.
We had disturbing text messages again yesterday.
Give me one.
Oh, hang on. I got to pull it.
Yeah, pull it up.
I can just tell you off the top of my head, this is pointless. What a waste of time.
What was the score of their game?
It was 16-10, but the Colts quarterback, Richardson, was, I believe, 12 for 30 passing. They lost the game to that guy. 12 for 30. He couldn't pass.
16-10 loss.
Yes.
I have nothing more to offer football. It has betrayed me for 35 years. 33 years.
33.
That was one.
That was good.
I stand by that.
That was good.
I stand by that.
After this weekend,
morning.
I think I need an official permanent break from football.
That's difficult because you do a radio show every day where you talk about
sports. And we talk about it. It's very hard to get a break from it now, Jake. Anyway, we're moving into Husker basketball.
It's a permanent gut punch. I just feel sick every day, basically, at this
point.
Call
Fred.
The sport has betrayed him.
It has betrayed me so badly. There's so much pain and sadness and emptiness in my life as a sports fan. Football. Look forward all year long. September, October, November, December, fall.
The Christmas.
And then it just kicks you in the ass every year.
The air is crisp. The leaves are changing. Jake's destroyed. He's destroyed. The best part, I'm talking to him yesterday.
He calls me about 11 o'clock.
I call him. He's like, I go, Jake, you ready for the game? No. I'm not watching. I'm not watching this mess. I'm going for a hike with Elizabeth.
In Scotland. We went to Indian Cave State Park in Falls City.
Oh, you didn't
watch? Because I didn't have to watch that disgusting game. And thank God I didn't. I would have, if I was at Brewski and saw that game ended, I would have thrown a chair through a window.
Oh, God.
Jake, I can't imagine, though, that you were like totally relaxed out in the
I wasn't. Tracking the game.
You're tracking the game every 30 seconds on your phone.
I tried to just look away saying this is going to be a loss. It's going to be a loss. Just accept it. And then they were up 10-0. And then they blew that because they suck.
And then
on fourth down from the 33-yard line with 7 seconds to go, they're down 6.
Okay.
Tim Boyle, who is the worst... he came back. Yeah, the guy with one career college touchdown and 13 picks and still is somehow on an NFL roster, comes in the game in the third quarter because Tyler Huntley, the quarterback, got hurt his shoulder. Here comes Tim Boyle to lose the game. On fourth down, throw it to the end zone. He throws the ball 20 yards over a guy's head into the stands to end the game. I mean, there's not a single Goliath wouldn't have caught that ball.
So he wasn't throwing it away.
And he wasn't supposed to. It was fourth down. It was fourth down. And he wasn't even pressured that much.
Ooh.
If it's something, there's a pass rusher in his face. Okay, get it. He had a clean pocket.
Oh, boy.
And just chucks airmails it game over on the 33-yard line.
Dolphins record.
2-4. 2-15.
No.
It's over. It's been over. We discussed it after the Dolphins lost.
So now we're doing NFL on Monday. We've changed the whole format.
No, I'm just
saying. We've changed the whole format.
We're just changing the fact that Bill called me and I was not going to watch the game at Brewski's.
I did call and did check in.
And I'm thank goodness for Brewski's and the chairs and the tables not getting flipped over. That was not
Jake,
there.
If you threw a... Can you imagine the scene if I just drove by Brewski's and all of a sudden there's like cops are there and stuff and there's a chair laying in, there's a chair laying in the front and Jake's in cuffs.
Getting walked out.
Sitting on the curb.
Yeah.
Waiting for his Miranda rights.
I'd walk by. Jake, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Quiet.
Call your lawyer.
Stop talking. Don't. So there we go. There's Dolphin sadness. What do you...
And I have some little chit-chat.
What do you got, Bill, before we discuss this horrendous game?
I had an incredible weekend in Cozad.
Oh, wow.
Which is my new vacation capital. I'm telling you, if you want to spend time, be a haymaker. Get out there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is it about Cozad? It is
just the whole town, the people. I've been out there before. Hung out with Jared Crick. That was awesome. Yeah. But it was the Hospital Foundation Fall Ball, and I did a speaking engagement there.
Okay.
But here's what was incredible.
Wait, Hospital
Foundation. So I'm sitting with at the kind of the head table there, whatever, with the Truesdale family. And Ms. Truesdale leans over and says, "Hey, my son listens to you every single day."
Wow.
It's Shane Truesdale. He's a
loyal morning, Shane.
Shane Truesdale. So his dad leans over to me and says, "I'm supposed to give you a message from Shane." I go, "Oh, great. What is it?" Oh, Shane.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Shane. But what a great time out in Cozad that I had. Thank you. It was an incredible time. A lot of fun. Met a lot of great people. And it was really, really good. So I missed a little bit of ball.
How long is that drive?
I missed that ball. It's a solid 2 hours and 48 minutes.
Oh, God.
It's a drive.
That's exact.
It's a drive. Yeah, it's a pretty good little cruise past Kearney.
Did you listen? Is it? Okay, so do you listen on the radio?
I didn't do that. Because I went out late Friday night so that way I could get up, do a sound check thing, be all ready. So I was able to watch a couple great games earlier on and then go over and do the event. The event was great. Thank you very much for that.
Cozad. And the name of the event was?
The name of the event was the Hospital Foundation Fall Ball.
Fall Ball.
Very formal.
Oh, it was a ball.
It was a ball. It was very
formal.
Did
you have to dress up?
It's more,
did you have a tux?
It'd be a gala. I did not have a tux on. No, it'd be a gala.
You wore all black.
I did. I wore all, shockingly. No. Shockingly.
It's a brand. It's a brand at this point. Come on.
Thank you,
brand.
Shane. Text in if you get a chance today. I think he listens to us later on YouTube. I think he listens to a little bit later in the day.
Hello, Shane. Thanks for listening. That is Idle Chit Chat. Sponsored by Renew. Call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to renewyourauto.com. They do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, and more. Renewyourauto.com. All right. Nebraska went out to Bloomington. Sip, you were there for the absolute bludgeoning that happened on the football field. 56-7. Nebraska falls at the hands of Google Me, Kurt Cignetti, and Indiana, who looked like national champions on Saturday. Nebraska, of course, just did not show up in any phase of the game. Following a bye week for both teams, it appeared to me early on, and you guys can disagree if you want, one team wanted to be there and the other team didn't. Mm-hmm. What it looked like to me. Sip, you were at the stadium.
I thought there was a little bit of that.
I don't think any of us before that game felt that was going to happen. I could see Indiana winning by a couple touchdowns, but not 56-7.
Who predicted 56-7?
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody saw that coming.
I mean, who predicted?
Maybe Cignetti did. Possibly, he seemed very confident throughout the whole game about what his team was doing,
mm-hmm.
and that they were expected this kind of team game.
Let's start off with this because I did a little research talking to some people. I talked to Jay yesterday, Foreman, because he was in attendance. But I said, I go, on TV, it didn't appear as if it was like this crazy, raucous crowd. It didn't appear like going, how do you hear? Not what really. Do you do anything? I didn't see a time when Nebraska was struggling to hear on offense or difficulties with offsides. It was just too loud. What was the setting like? It was full, but what was the setting like?
It was technically sold out. Every seat wasn't full. It wasn't that raucous.
That's what it appeared like on TV. I just want to know what it's like for the live version.
No, it wasn't. It was fine. But it was nothing like some of the play, like it wasn't anything resembling Colorado last year.
Gotcha.
It wasn't anything resembling like Nebraska, Colorado, and Lincoln. Nothing like that.
Gotcha.
I mean, they got wound up when Indiana made a good play, but it wasn't, as somebody said, Sean said it. It wasn't, it didn't seem, football's not that big of a deal there.
Basketball school.
Right, right.
It's, but still, you think it would be now, no matter where you're playing.
It is, you know, it's, they're jacked up in Bloomington in that area, I guess. But no, it wasn't overwhelming in any way. That wasn't an issue, if that's what we're getting at. Crowd noise, atmosphere, all of that. No, yeah, there's no way that was,
because there was no hostile environment.
It was not hostile. I mean, it was very, I'd say it was, it was friendly. Louder than Purdue, but Purdue was pretty full too. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was not hostile.
Okay.
I don't think the players would say it was hostile.
Well, here's the deal about this game.
What's the deal, Jake?
We asked the question last week, a couple questions. Number one, could Nebraska be in a shootout? Can they win in a shootout? The answer Saturday was no. They cannot win in a shootout right now. The offense has fallen off a cliff the last couple weeks. We asked the question also, Indiana's scored 40-plus points every game this year. Can Nebraska hold them under that? We said yes, they should.
That was the
and they put up 56 points. There wasn't a thing you can cling to that was positive
that was
Saturday. Nothing.
I mean, I'm sure Bill and you, Jake, or your people are asking you, what was your biggest surprise? That's it. That the defense gave up 56. I mean, I can't even say without laughing. I mean, that's it. We are talking about the possibility of maybe an elite defense. That's out the window. We're not going to talk about that anymore.
Nope.
I think on that side of the ball, it was an effort. Not. I don't want to say they weren't trying. They just didn't match Indiana's intensity. I don't think
ever.
Yeah, it was poor tackling again. They just didn't really. I think they had one guy play well. Bayer played well. Mekhi Bayer. I can't really think of anybody else who played really well at all. Well, so if you have one guy on your defense play well.
Well, they had a drop pass late in the game, which the announcer said would have been a big game, potential touchdown. And then that was their only punt.
Exactly.
If he catches that ball, they don't punt.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at the grades. I already did look at the grades yesterday.
Ben put his grades out.
Well, I'm talking about those Pro Football Focus grades. If you do look through the defense, which I'm scrolling through right now, there's not. Bayer graded well. I'm just seeing if there's anybody else that graded really well. Hartzog. Hartzog graded well. He had a pick. And was good in coverage. Gifford graded well. I didn't think Gifford had one of his best games. That's it. Pretty much that's it. If you wanted to, maybe you could talk your way into three guys on the defense played well. So that's trouble.
This is a team in Indiana that kept hearing that, hey, you've played nobody. Well, number one, hey, we're Indiana. We haven't been this good forever. We're 6-0 coming in. Cignetti is preaching that to the team, saying no one believes in you and you're 6-0. They bought into whatever he was saying. Completely bought in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two things. One thing, he said it out loud that we really haven't played anybody.
Yes.
He said it out loud.
To his team.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did. We have not had a daunting schedule. He made it very clear with that.
Yep.
But the other thing is, they've scored at least 41 in every game.
Yes, except for the first one.
Yeah.
They had 31 in the first
game.
Was it?
Yeah. But there, anyway, it's extremely hard to score those points. It just is. I don't care what you're doing. It's hard to score those points.
It is. Yeah, it was 31-7 against FIU, but you're right. After that, 77, 42, 52, 42, 41, 56. And they were lethal. Yeah. Now, there was a moment during the we got there. Bill, thank you for prepping me for Urban Meyer. We got there on Friday and we went to interview them. Fox.
How was that? That's pretty cool. So tell us about that.
Well, there's just, I'm not going to tell you all about it. We can do that later. But something that Urban Meyer said right away when he said, I was like, oh boy. He said, Indiana doesn't make mistakes and they're good up front. And I'm like, oh God. I don't know why it struck me. I was like, that's because I didn't know how good they were up front. They are pretty good up front.
Very solid. That's what I'd say. There's no one you looked at as must-see TV.
No.
But it was
nothing
like that. But it was like, no. Also didn't see many errors.
That's the thing.
You just didn't see errors.
The one pick they had was a Hail Mary at halftime.
They were precise. Yeah. They were very precise.
Yeah. In their run game, their fits were really good.
That, yes.
They did a really good job. They were not out of sync at all.
So we should discuss the start of the game, too. I mean, Nebraska gets down 7-0. Indiana marches down the field very surgically.
It was.
And then the kickoff occurs, and the freshman
Ja'Cory Barney.
Yeah, and I think, you guys, I didn't see replays because the monitor situation in the press box is less than ideal. It just looked like he just stumbled out of bounds at the one.
That's how it appeared.
Just stumbled, kind of.
There's a couple things that have to happen there. Yeah. And Bill, you know,
So
there's a couple things in general is in the teaching mode of this type of thing. Like I'm sure most people, what was taught is that if you have to burst, strain to the football to the sideline, right away that's a red flag to you, because if I have to catch it, my momentum is just going to carry me out of bounds.
That's what I thought happened, momentum.
And second is what you're trying to do is ground yourself. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get 1 foot out of bounds first. Oh. Then if you just touch the ball, you don't have to even catch it. If you just touch the ball, that deems the ball out of bounds. The ball goes to the 35-yard line.
I wonder if he knew that.
So you're trying to get to the 35, and it's a tricky thing to work. You have a lot of teach film on it, which we would show in meetings. And then we'd work the drill and we'd show them all the different looks. But the thing is to get to out of bounds first. You want to get to out of bounds, get a foot out of bounds, and then locate the ball.
Okay.
That's what you're trying to get done. But if you are on a hard sprint to the football, there's a chance that's one you're just going to take. You hopefully want to roll the dice on and say, listen, I'm not going to catch this ball, I'm going to ground myself and get the ball at the 35.
But I just got caught in between.
But think about that. I mean, you could tell early in the first quarter that this is not going to go your way.
Yeah,
that play was pretty well. Here we go. They're not locked in. Something's not right here.
Oh no, you're right. You're right to the
starts
extent.
Starts to drive up the 1-yard line.
Now, people yesterday were asking me about certain moments. If this moment would have been different, could have been different? I said no. Maybe it would have delayed the inevitable. Maybe the score wouldn't have been quite as bad, quite as one-sided. But come on, I mean, Nebraska wasn't stopping Indiana.
No, not at all.
Do you think Ja'Cory Barney return that ball to the 25 would have changed that?
No.
That the defense would have magically dug in? No, Indiana moved the ball at will all day.
They did.
That wasn't going to change. Maybe they would have won 49-14 or something.
It's just putting yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
it did. Unnecessarily.
And Dowdell's fumble did too. I mean,
right.
There's no doubt about that. What was it? They were trying to get to 7-7 and Indiana's
fourth and one. They go for it, right?
Yeah, fourth and one. It looked like he had it, although there's some pushback on that from the.
At first, it looked like I thought he was going to have that.
I agree.
On the announcer said, he goes, I don't think he would have made it anyway.
Oh, okay.
And so, but I don't think so.
Someone on Twitter told me to get my crap together.
I think you would have had it.
Okay.
The ball got ripped from behind him, though.
The thing you always have to remember when you pick out, and this is on any game there is. When you on one side of the ball pick out a couple things, well, if we don't have this, we don't have this. Well, their tight end dropped the ball in a 3rd and 2, which would have been a layup first down, which would have
put them up by 4.
So if you get to take away 4 plays, then the other team gets to take away 4 plays, and you're right back to even. It's kind of
And that's all I'm saying is I don't think you can. And I'm not saying you were, Jake, but I don't think you point to a couple moments and say if this would have gone Nebraska's way, maybe the outcome would have been different.
It would not have changed the outcome. It's just the fact that it was over earlier than people thought it was.
When it was over. Nebraska got to 14-7 with 7:40 left. They had a nice drive, a 75-yard drive.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. But it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use code EARLYBREAK at checkout. That's CigarsInternational.com. Use promo code EARLYBREAK, all one word, at checkout, EARLYBREAK, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
A Rayola at that point was 10 for 14. It was 14 to 7. You thought, okay, here we go. Now the game starts midway through the second quarter.
Yep.
But then, boom, Indiana scored back-to-back possessions, and it's over. Then
28-7 and a half.
Yeah, they reeled off two drives, two pretty quick drives, actually. One was 353, and the other was quicker than that. It was a three-play drive. So they were moving it.
Well,
I mean, Nebraska wasn't putting up any resistance.
What's sad is
they're moving on, and one thing, they're moving them both on the ground and in the air.
Yes, and the sad thing also is that, okay, at halftime, Curtis Rourke, the star quarterback for Indiana, he's got a thumb issue. I mean, he hits his thumb on the helmet of, I forget who it was, James Williams, who hit
it? I believe possibly. So.
Okay. Yeah. But he doesn't play in the second half.
Yeah,
he's in street clothes, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. They outscored Nebraska 28-0 in the second half, thanks to Taven Jackson going 7 for 8, 91 yards, two touchdowns.
They didn't drop off.
They didn't have a drop off.
No, Jackson.
There was times when he looked better. There was times he looked better.
How about that?
And Rourke was really good.
Yeah. There was times he looked better.
So Rourke will be out this week against Washington. Jackson was a start. He started. Now, Taven Jackson, you're talking about.
Yes.
He started 5 games last year. So, I mean, tip your cap to him for sticking. They bring in Rourke.
Sticking it out.
Yeah, they bring in Rourke, and he's their starter. Taven Jackson was a starter last year for 5 games. He stays, and he did look
good. He looked really good.
Yeah. When I was watching him, I go, oh, whoa, this looks like an upgrade. Looks like an upgrade athletically. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was calm. When he came in the game, they ran their offense. It wasn't like, here's what we got to do. We got to run the football. We got to move the clock. We got to just try to get out of this game. We got to back up quarterback in. They're like, no. They ran everything they wanted to run.
He was good. He's an Indiana kid. They should be okay this week, I would think, against Washington.
Yeah, you don't see that. You're lesser if something happens to him, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. They play Washington in Bloomington, and game day is going to be there.
I think it's funny about that. So game day being there, I think, should be. They should be there for Indiana. But the game's on BTN.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the game's on BTN.
That's odd.
Yeah, very odd. So they're going there. So
Washington versus
they must have Herb Street flying somewhere after that.
Dude, that is nuts.
Yeah. The game is there, and then it's also I think it's 11 o'clock kick again.
Is it?
Okay, Bill is right. I just checked.
That's what I do, guys. I do media.
Bill is correct.
Nice, I do media. Work.
Thank you, guys.
Indiana, by the way, ranked 13th now. It's a 11 a.m. kickoff on BTN. BTN,
the biggest story going
game day
with game day BTN. Imagine having game day there and it's all on the ACC network.
Yeah, I guess that's just that's interesting. So that they're 7-0 now.
They're 7-0.
They should get to 8-0. I think. I mean, yeah.
And at this point,
Jake, there's a little reverberation. Is there a button you can press? Usually, you press some sort of button.
Did you start right now or not?
Now it's better. Did you just fix it?
I didn't do anything.
Didn't you?
No.
There's a little. I think you did.
Am I reverberating?
No, it was. We were all reverberating. Now we're not.
I don't hear anything.
So offensively, Nebraska.
Yeah, again, nothing there. Nebraska makes it 14-7, as you said, and after that, you know, the drive to begin the second half, you push it. Okay, can you get to 28-14? Well, they get picked off, and it goes the other way, and the game's over. Again, it's officially over at that point.
No, you're right.
You thought, okay, can you get a spark to start the second half? Maybe scare him with their backup quarterback in. Rourke's out. No.
Fourth and eight.
You push it, and yeah.
Yeah, fourth and eight. Mm. Well, yeah, you're kind of in a little bit of a pickle there. Fourth and eight at the Indiana 13. But yeah, number one picked it and then ran down the field. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Now, the offense has a lot of issues as I see it. Obviously, well, here's the issues. They don't run the ball very well. They're probably now below 90th in the country. They're not getting, you notice they're not getting anything downfield from their receivers.
No.
It's a lot of layered routes, 15 to 20 yards. And then, you know, Indiana just swarmed them, ate those up. So he couldn't get much going there. The offensive line's just so-so right now. Didn't grade particularly well. So your receivers aren't doing much. Your running game is anemic at best. And your offensive line's so-so. So what do you do?
Well, here's the stats. Rushing, 29 carries for 70 yards. It's an average of 2.4. And by the way, your best rusher was your backup quarterback, Harburg, 5 carries for 32 yards.
Yeah, if you look at the running backs, it was, I think it was 29 for 40 or 29 rushes for 50.
It'd be 20.
Do the quick math. You didn't get 20 much.
22 rushes.
Okay. That might be right.
No, that's not right. Hang on. 20. I think it's 19 rushes.
19. That's it.
19 rushes.
For about 40 yards.
Something like that.
Yeah. They got nothing from the running backs. And it's not all on the running backs. There's not much room to run. There's just nothing going on that side of the ball right now.
Also, what...
You got seven against Indiana. Come on.
They were very generic defensively. They brought an extra person off the edge a couple times, but they played a ton of quarters, and quarters is matchup zone. Okay. So there is country three, we call it, which is just three deep, which is a spot drop. Mm-hmm. There is some versions of two, which is also a... rerouting defense with, again, eyes on quarterback, where quarters is a matchup. And the place you have to win in quarters is on the outside, because they're basically, it's basically a zero coverage, except for you, but you have help on shallow crossers. Mm. But the threatening part about everybody gets so scared of quarters is, well, if they run this action with the post, it's just you in the corner with a four-man rush. And so that's where
they're not getting that.
There's a lot of discussion before the game was that Indiana's corners are small, Nebraska receivers are big, but they gloved them up. There was one time where their corner got a PI, and he basically put the receiver like 5 yards out of bounds, and you'd be mad at him as a coach, but it's because they couldn't get off. They couldn't get off the press.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. They'll face better defensive backfields going forward. Obviously, it's a problem. They're not getting anything. They're not getting any separation, Nebraska. I could go on. I'm not going to.
Endless problems right now.
Yeah. Wait a second. Was Indiana playing? Were they playing much man?
They had some man, but they played a lot of quarters, and then played. The interception was a version of the one in the red zone was a version of cover three.
Okay.
And but you don't have to get any depth by your free safety, so the free safety in the field would never have a chance to intercept that ball. But where they were on the field allowed him to see it, jump it, and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a lot of it. But they weren't
playing man.
They were a zone team for the most part.
Okay,
and there's always a time, but there was never a time you looked out there and said, "Oh wow, they're bringing six. They're bringing in all out pressure." That didn't exist in the entire game. Hmm. It was generic defense. That's okay. They played very well. How many times do you see a busted coverage from them?
None.
Where it's like, oh man, someone's running wide open.
We go back to what really has pissed off the fan base about this game, particularly, was that this is a game you've seen before against Ohio State or Michigan, teams that have five stars galore left and right. This is an Indiana team with the first-year head coach, Kurt Cignetti, who has been phenomenal, beyond phenomenal, full of transfers from James Madison, a quarterback from Ohio. That's what's bothering fans, that you... This was not a talent issue in terms of, hey, they've got five stars and we don't. We get that. This was not that in this matchup, and that's what bothers him. Here is Matt Rhule post-game about But didn't see this coming. Here's Matt Rhule from Saturday.
I just think that I felt they had our number today. And again, that's the part that really infuriates me as the head coach. People are going to point at this person. Everything should be pointed right at me. You know that I usually can see things coming. I'll tell you right now, I did not see this coming. And so, credit to them. I don't want to take any away from them. They are an excellent football team. But I did not see this coming.
They definitely got caught in a buzzsaw, Nebraska. But I mean, there's you can't just explain it away that way. You shouldn't lose 56-7. No. I mean, that's what people are alarmed.
It's an interesting story of a first year turnaround, especially when you brought players from JMU.
Yes.
However you cut it, you, first thing you say is like, how's that going to translate into the Big Ten? Well, it's translated really
pretty damn well.
And you got the right guys, right?
They went and got a quarterback from a MAC school. And is doing tremendous. And they also were able to keep. Also, where he did a brilliant job was, who do you maintain on staff? One coach. Who
one
was
guy, the offensive line coach.
Bob Bostead, friend of mine. Incredible coach. Remember when Wisconsin was really rolling? He was their O-line coach. He was the O-line coach at Wisconsin.
Bob.
And Bob's a great coach.
Bostead.
And he keeps him. And guess what else? What else did he keep then? He kept the entire offensive line.
Yeah.
That offensive line is really good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a really
are.
Good offense. So guess what else? He retained players. He the right ones he had to have, the ones that they felt need to leave. And he probably had a voice. He probably could be able to sit down with someone on the staff and say, okay, who do you think should be here? And it's like, hey, I'm telling you, this is the right person. These guys here, not the right people. And then he's able to help work through this. The other thing that I just go about this that I think is just remarkable is that Cignetti's 63. Mm-hmm. He's 63 years old. We got to get the young guy. Get this guy. Got to get this play caller in here. They went and got a 62-year-old who's now is 63 mm-hmm. in his first time coaching in the Power Four. First time, as far as I know, he's at Alabama as a recruiting coordinator. I get that. First time being a head coach in the Power Four, and he's got his team doing this. So it's a remarkable story.
Yep. 27 transfers who've played. 27 transfers who've played, 14 who've started. They didn't start 14 on Saturday. I think they started 8 of those transfers, but still.
I don't think that if you looked at on paper that Indiana's more talented than Nebraska, but watch the game. Justice Ellison is breaking tackles left and right. Surratt made some great catches. I mean, they had some excellent catches downfield. They were well covered, I thought.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Just amazing catches.
Nebraska doesn't have a receiver as good as Surratt, but you're right. I mean, it wasn't like it shouldn't be a huge talent gap. I mean, nothing would suggest that except the final score,
right?
Which gets you back to coaching.
Yes.
I mean, if the talent's relatively equal, and I think it is, then it's a coaching issue. Not that scheme issue on defense for Nebraska. I just think they had a bunch of guys that didn't play well.
Like the biggest story that was in comparison was that both teams had the equal amount of time. Both had bye weeks.
Yeah,
both had bye weeks.
Exactly.
So that was the big story.
Oh yeah,
on the TV.
So who will make better time? I mean, who will handle that better? Who do you think did? Who do you think did?
Well, that was clear that Indiana did a better job,
right.
or they had their guys ready to play for whatever reason.
Right.
But that was the big thing was that both teams had the bye week.
Jake. Inu's backs, running backs, 49 mm-hmm. yards on 20 carries. Okay, 49 yards on 20 carries. That's not going to win hardly anything in the Big Ten. I mean, I think about it in the context of what we used to cover here. I don't even have to go back to Lawrence Phillips and Amon Green. You can just go to Amir Abdullah. 49 yards on 20 carries? They have to address that
But what do you do?
It's not going to happen this year. You got to go get running backs and linemen that can get you just 140 yards. You know, 140 doesn't blow anybody's doors off, but that's like Eric Dickerson compared to what we're looking at right now. You can't win. It's going to be hard to win going forward if that's all you can get from your running
back. And that was a takeaway. Okay, the schedule going forward, you need one more win to get to a bowl game.
Uh-huh.
And couple weeks ago, it looked very feasible. Right now, Ohio State's almost a certain loss. You're a 25-point underdog on Saturday in Columbus. Then you have UCLA, who, again, they're only 2-5, but they go on the road across the country and put up 35 points on Rutgers and win that game.
I know. No, I know. That's
Wisconsin's got a pulse now. Iowa got beat, but they have a pulse as well.
This is an issue for Rule. These conversations are going to be pervasive all over Nebraska. I heard from people yesterday a guy just walked by me in Manawa and said, "You think they'll win another game?" and I said, I kind of looked at him like, yeah, maybe. And he just kind of was like, I don't know. They should beat UCLA at home. But here's the thing. Rule's got to battle that. I think they can win a couple more games. Maybe more than a couple, but they got to battle a lot of people thinking they might not.
Right.
You know, and it gets negative. It's really negative right now. You know.
I'm shocked by the stardom because there's no chance if me and Jake are walking around Manawa that anyone IDs this. No, there's no chance that anyone IDs this at all.
It's right over the bridge.
And you got ID.
It's right over the bridge.
I know, but I'm just saying, I don't think there's no chance me and Jake could be walking together with ticket shirts on. No one would say a word to us.
Look at that albino over there.
Yeah, exactly.
What's he doing out in the public?
Yeah. There's an albino over there. What the heck?
With a rapidly receding hairline.
Yeah.
Put a hat on.
Who's the old guy with him?
Get the Oilers hat on.
You're talking with the Oilers hat on. Talking sports.
Talking about Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini.
So, yeah, what a loss like this does is just, I mean, it has a lot of ramifications, you know? And we didn't even talk about the possibility of staff changes, which I don't know. It just sparks up that conversation.
The thing is, so you have to find a positive, right?
What's the positive?
And the positive, I wouldn't say it's rock bottom, but sometimes you have a devastating setback. Mm-hmm. It does do things. Devastating setbacks.
Thank you for that.
All of a sudden, it's like, okay, there's some things that we thought we had this, we were doing this. Makes you maybe, you got to break up everything. And you're still, but at the same time, when that happens, you're still 5-2.
You're 2-2 in the league.
And you're not trying to.
Right.
You're not trying
not 2-5.
You're not 2-5. You're sitting there going like, hang on now.
Right.
Hang on.
Right.
So sometimes that's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's seen it before. It's like, how does that
good
happen?
Good point. That's a good point.
And so I think sometimes it's better to have that happen to you than it is to have that game be 27-18. They were kind of in control, but you had a chance. And you're just like, we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just all of a sudden you're right there. And then things just keep going not right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the best thing can happen to you is just like, wow.
Yeah.
A wow moment like that can happen.
Yeah. And
so that's not a horrible deal.
You're right. And it happened. Now, that did happen last year against Michigan. They had that moment and they did respond.
And
well.
Responded.
Yeah. So that's what you
Who'd
hope.
They have after Michigan last year?
Illinois, I think.
Was it Illinois?
It was Illinois. It was definitely Illinois.
It was definitely Illinois. This one's a little harder because of the follow-up game.
Exactly.
You're playing Ohio State in the road.
That is the big issue to me. So you're in this, you're in these rough waters that you just got to kind of keep the boat afloat. Just you're in some really rough waters right now.
The thing that comes up now,
you can't get submerged.
The thing that comes up now is what's on film. That's the biggest thing. So everything now because Indiana did things offensively that were fairly normal. It wasn't a unique offense of like, oh man, they're running triple option. They're doing this.
It was blocked well.
It was so. Everything now, when you have trouble with something and it's on film like that, you're going to see it and see it and see it. And then you see it. So that's where teams look different down the road. It's like, what happened? Well, we're on film.
Yep.
And all of a sudden people caught up on that. There was a weakness here or this was what they do. And they do this really well. And this has to get stopped type of a thing.
They just started ripping off big games. Again, it was 14-7. And you thought, here we go. Midway through the second quarter. Here we go. And then Indiana just started ripping off big gains.
Yep.
Sarrett caught a pass, beat Tommy Hill. It was a gorgeous throw downfield, 22 yards, 12 yards, 17, ran for 14. Then the drive right, so they get to 21-7. Then they got to 28-7. It was a 29-yard run, an 8-yard pass, and a 31-yard TD run. No. A 29-yard run and a 31-yard run. Nebraska had one run over 10 yards.
One.
So they had one run over 10 yards. The guys were sprinting down the field left and right. Well, Rule did have a good explanation or a good quote. He said, it just seems like on our offense, we have to struggle to get anything. And then you look at Indiana, and they're running kind of the same stuff we are, and they're running up and down the field.
Yeah. There's very similar. As I said, it wasn't a unique offense or unique defense where you go, Well, they're just doing something really out of the box. That's what they're doing. They're just doing everything they do really well.
Right.
And they have a veteran offensive linebacker that's returning. Mm-hmm. I think that's 4 out of 5 starters. And the center is really good. Their offensive center is really good.
This team, though, was Google Me's team was 1-8 in the Big Ten last year. Well, that's what you have to remind yourself. They were 1-8, 3-9.
And the coach got fired.
Yeah.
And now they're world beaters, apparently.
He picked the right guys. Now, JMU obviously has some talent. They scored 70 on North Carolina, right? So, JMU, James Madison, that level.
They scored 14 this weekend and lost.
That's bad.
We got to get to break. We got to get to break.
Before we're doing breaks now?
It's 6:40. We're a little bit late here. Before we get to break.
It's on, Ben.
I know you're hungry. Early bird.
I am.
Early
I'm
bird. Hash hole. I'm sorry. We're late.
What was that?
Hash hole. Well, behind the time. 19th and K.
That's okay.
I apologize, everybody.
The bird. Get over there. It's incredible.
Head scratchers next. Early break.
Head scratchers.